Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
Let's take a look at the latest news from the Vatican, where on Friday, Benedict XVI received in audience a number of new ambassadors to the Holy See, who were there to present their letters of credence. Among them, in particular, the ambassador of New Zealand to the Holy See, Robert Carey Moore Jones, whom the Pope welcomed to the Vatican, expressing the hope that his appointment would serve to strengthen the existing bonds of friendship between the two states. On this occasion, the Pope highlighted how he'd recently had the opportunity of experiencing something of the spirit of New Zealand when he'd met with the youth from this nation during the recent July World Youth Day in Sydney. A spirit of enthusiasm he hoped new generations would channel into forging friendships across divides and creating places of living faith in and for our world, settings of hope and charity. The Holy Father then focused precisely on the positive aspect of this cultural diversity of New Zealand, stressing how it brings richness to the social fabric of the nation, how the growing presence of migrant communities from various religious traditions, together with the government's increasing participation in Pacific and Asian affairs, raises the awareness of the fruits that can be obtained through interreligious dialogue. Benedict XVI then went on to praise New Zealand's generous commitment to peacekeeping initiatives across the world and express his awareness of its diplomatic activity, predominant in the Pacific and considerable in Asia, marked, he said, by a strong commitment to justice and peace, good governance, sustainable economic development, and promotion of human rights. The Pope also spoke of his confidence in the Catholic Church's mission of service within this nation, in particular her commitment in the spiritual and intellectual formation of the young, her work with those on the margins of society. Finally, he expressed his spiritual closeness to the families in New Zealand, which, like so many across the globe, are suffering from the effects of the current economic crisis. The Ambassador of New Zealand, Robert Carey Moore Jones, was kind enough to come into our studios here earlier in the week to be interviewed by Philippa Hitchin. Let's listen.
You've worked mainly in the Asia and the Pacific regions up to now before coming here. What are you hoping perhaps to bring to this new job here in Europe, particularly in this relationship between New Zealand and the Holy See?
We work together in a variety of different ways. We've worked together in, for example, cluster munitions, the work on the convention there. We've worked together in areas like interfaith dialogue. We both have a strong shared concern about human welfare development issues. So I think the question is to enhance the dialogue, enhance mutual understanding, and look for other areas where we can work together. And a particular focus on that would be the Pacific. The Pacific is a region undergoing fundamental change, and a lot of it is for the worse. Across the Pacific region, you have poor governance, very weak institutions. You have growing populations where social services are under considerable stress. In places like Fiji, you've had yet another military coup. So it's a key focus of New Zealand's foreign policy. And the church has got quite a prominent role and profile in most Pacific Island societies. So I think there are opportunities to share knowledge, to share insights, and possibly also look at where there are collaborative ways we can help in terms of the development agenda. And you've mentioned environment. Well, of course, underpinning all of those other challenges, we now have the challenge of climate change.
Absolutely. We think of that region as an area of beautiful landscapes, paradise islands and so on. But of course, this is a real threat, isn't it? How much is this a priority for your government, tackling these problems?
Well, the environmental agenda is a key priority for the government. It has a number of levels. In the one hand, many of the Pacific Island countries are low-lying atolls, so their very future is at risk from rising sea levels. But there are other steps along the way. I mean, one of the things that is of concern is that with climate change, with global warming, you tend to have more frequent, more severe weather incidents. So more cyclones, typhoons. And they, in big countries, a typhoon can cause a lot of damage. But in small, vulnerable societies, they can actually wipe out the national economy. So they have much more devastating impacts in those fragile states. And if you look at some of them, Tuvalu is several thousand people on an island that is gravely at risk of global warming. So it's a big challenge, very large challenge.
Many of these areas, of course, populated by people who've been there for many, many thousands of years, long before the white settlers came. Your own country, New Zealand, of course, the Maori issue is of great concern for the church, isn't it? Now, together with the United States and Canada, I think I'm right in saying that New Zealand voted against the adoption of the UN General Assembly's Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Why was that, first of all?
I think there were fundamental issues about some of the language used in the declaration. There was a concern that for many countries, adopting the declaration had no particular domestic ramifications, and that we need to deal with the issues of race relations in New Zealand in our way, and I think we are doing that. You said that the Maori population is of great concern to the church. Well, I hope that that's also been seen as a positive process. We have a long-standing treaty settlement process, which is about settling historical grievances over land. We have an ongoing process of political dialogue in New Zealand every day between the peoples of New Zealand. I mean, fundamentally, yes, that's the European and Maori population, but we also have an Asian population, which is now in Auckland, for example, probably 12% of the population is of Asian origin. So New Zealand is quite a multicultural country, and proud of it, and proud of the way that we are seeking to ensure that it's an inclusive and generous society to everybody, while recognising what we call the particular position of the tangata whenua, the people of the land, the Maori people.
So is there any intention to review this document? I know Australia has since reviewed and adopted. Is there
any interest? There is an ongoing process of looking at the declaration that has been a renewed interest recently, as Australia has said that he will look at it. I can't say where that process will go, but certainly that review is underway at the moment.
You mentioned the other more recent immigrants, new arrivals in New Zealand. And again, Caritas, the church as a whole, has been raising its concerns about these people, about the domestic human rights policy of your country. What's your response to that?
Well, I would be very surprised if there are domestic human rights issues involving the new populations in New Zealand. I think New Zealand would stack up extremely well against any country in the world in terms of the way in which new peoples are integrated into the system. I mean, for example, in New Zealand, if you're a resident or who's lived there for more than 12 months, you automatically have the right to vote. I think if you look at Asian representation in the New Zealand Parliament, it's good and it's growing. We have currently one Chinese New Zealand cabinet minister. I think there are not, as far as I know, concerns over human rights for Asian peoples in New Zealand.
I was simply looking at a quote from the director of Caritas, Michael Smith, saying the country is justifiably proud of the role it has often played internationally as a human rights champion, just as you're saying, but it cannot afford to be complacent about these questions at home.
I wouldn't take that as a criticism, and I think he's perfectly correct that we shouldn't be complacent. But I don't think we are. I think there is a constant and ongoing and very creative debate in New Zealand about what it means to be a multicultural society. How do we become one nation, but recognising the strength that we draw from our diversity? I think it's a very healthy discussion and debate we have all the time. And these are issues which all New Zealanders are very aware of, because it is very transparent sort of discussion that takes place.
Perhaps some lessons for us here in Europe as well.
Well, I think all of us need to deal with our own issues in our own ways, but certainly the open dialogue we have in New Zealand is something that I believe is very, very positive for us.
Just looking at your past experience, I was wondering your experience as a diplomat in Asia, working a little bit on the Korean issue as well. We're very concerned, of course, at the moment about the current flare-up of tensions, and I'm wondering whether you can share with us at all any insights about the workings, particularly of that Asian region, in trying to overcome this.
Well, I think the New Zealand government has expressed its own strong concern over the latest, the nuclear test and the missile tests, as we have done previously. New Zealand has worked behind the scenes to do what it can to support the six-party peace process, which has been going on for 4 or 5 years now. And in fact, I was fortunate enough 2 years ago to go with the New Zealand Foreign Minister to Pyongyang to deliver a message that New Zealand went non-nuclear in 1986. We've had very strong credentials in terms of the disarmament agenda, disarmament process. We believe very strongly in a denuclearised Korean Peninsula. We have the cemeteries of New Zealand servicemen who died there in the Korean War. So that's been a very long-standing interest of ours, both in terms of nuclear disarmament and in terms of peace and security in a part of the world that's very important to New Zealand.
Can you tell us anything about the kind of reception that you had there in Pyongyang?
Well, that when the New Zealand minister went there, he was the first minister from a Western country who had visited for quite some time. And I think they were good, generous hosts. We had some good, vigorous discussions. And we would like to think that we made a difference. But the latest test suggests that it's going to take a long time.
You were listening there to the Ambassador of New Zealand to the Holy See, Robert Carey Moore-Jones, speaking to Philippa Hitchin.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.